Welcome back to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. This is Bill Hutchison filling in for Mary Charlotte Fridays this month. I'm back with Laura Stewart, Director Curator of Site Santa Fe. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine.
We have steaming mugs of coffee, and we're going to talk about art at 8 o'clock in the morning. What could be better?
I think nothing. Nothing could be better than that.
Maybe talking about art at 10 o'clock in the morning with steaming cups of coffee.
Yes.
But I think we'll do okay.
Uh-huh.
So we have something fantastic coming up. We have several fantastic things coming up at site, not least of which is the big, amazing auction, but also some new installations that are happening. Let's talk a little bit about the auction first.
Well, the auction is a benefit auction for Site Santa Fe. We don't do auctions that frequently. In fact, the last time we did an auction was 4 years ago. And the way we do auctions is we beg, plead, cajole, invite artists who have shown at site to give us stuff, amazing stuff that we can sell.
I was looking through the catalog a little earlier, and when the people you are begging and pleading with and cajoling are kind of fantastic people. Tell us about some of the pieces we're going to see. I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned going through this catalog.
It's big stuff. It's big stuff. Well, you know what? We're really lucky because artists love Site Santa Fe, and they love doing shows there, and they recognize that it's a little budget, and we raise it all personally every year. And a lot of artists who have had, you know, their one-person show at site or been included in an important show, it's been meaningful for them in terms of the rest of their career and how it moves them forward and allows them to sell more work and make more money. So this is our the sort of karmic exchange. But right there on the cover of the Site Santa Fe catalog is a work by Jenny Holzer. It's a marble footstool, and it has engraved on it, "Protect me from what I want," which is this truism that of Jenny's series of truisms, the series of texts that she wrote, declarative texts. And they first appeared in the, I guess, late 70s, early 80s on very cheap materials, just Xerox copies that she glued all over subway stations. And then they came in bumper stickers, they came in T-shirts, they came in coffee mugs, they came in many forms. The ones that come in marble are super rare. And so this is a very special object that she's given to us. The retail value of it is about $75,000, so we're hoping to get close to that number on the night. So that's a pretty extraordinary piece. Another one that I'm fond of is a new painting from Dana Schutz. And many of you saw Dana's one-person show at Site Santa Fe a couple years back. It was her first one-person show in America, and her career subsequently just blew up in the most alarming way, and she became a great big famous person, but she's still just plain old Dana. So,
and she's very young.
She is very young. She's younger than me, ergo she's very young.
Yes, even younger than me, and I'm pretty young.
That's the rule. So she's probably 30 or something like that, 30-ish. And yeah, she made this painting especially for us at site and was delighted to do it. So it's the thing to keep in mind about an object like this painting or even Jenny's footstool is, let's say you wanted to walk into her gallery in New York City and buy this painting. The fact is there's a waiting list of people signed up who wait for years to get paintings by Dana. And then, you know, assuming you get to the head of that line, then the dealer says, well, is it going to a good home? Do you plan to eventually give your collection to a museum? What, you know, is it going to be near other great things? Will it show properly? So it's not quite like buying a pair of shoes or something.
It's not quite like buying at all. It's almost like adoption.
It's almost like adoption. You get kind of checked out. So, but at Site Santa Fe, we just assume anybody that shows up with money must be a wonderful person.
Absolutely.
And we will be delighted to sell this painting called The Note to you. It's a sort of a black figure, black heavily impostoed figure in the foreground, leaning his head on his hand, wearing glasses, and writing a bright yellow note. And then behind him is this squirrely, squiggly field of blue that has a very Matisse-like look. And I should say that all the works in our auction are up on our website right now. We have an auction website. If you go to Site's regular website, sitesantafe.org, you can click through to the auction website and see all the pictures and all the objects.
And I will say, radio listeners, having looked through these pictures myself and being unlikely to purchase any of them at the auction myself, although I would certainly encourage you to, they're worth a look. They're fantastic. They're kind of stunning pieces.
They're pretty great.
One of the things that has long interested me about site is its metamorphic capability, that the space is so transient isn't exactly the right word, but it is hard to get one's bearings from one installation to the next. Mm-hmm. How is that for you, working in there, developing the space for these different installations, having, say, one show with multiple artists, multiple shows with multiple artists, the various forms that the building takes? I'm very used to moving through a space that is static and not quite so dynamic as, say, the site is.
Yeah, well, you know, at Site Santa Fe, what we do is temporary exhibitions, special exhibitions. We're not like a normal museum in that we don't own a collection of artworks that we need to keep on display at all times. We just develop exhibitions. We show them. We often commission new works, inviting artists to make new works that are specially made for that space. We show the show. We close the show, move the art out, and change the walls around. So, and
that's a massive undertaking. I mean, I think we go in there and we see this beautiful, fantastic, composed thing. But really, I suspect before that, there are forklifts and lots of people and ladders and paintbrushes and what must seem like massive chaos.
Well, you know, when I left Site Santa Fe last night at 11:30, my crew was still there running cables, and they're perfectionists. My crew is just, they're an amazing bunch of people, Tyler, Dave, and Dave, and they are ferocious perfectionists. And they take a lot of pride in things being surprising and extraordinary. And, you know, the thing, what they do, they always make it look so perfect and so much as though that's the way, obviously, it's supposed to be. And somewhat effortless. They make it look effortless.
Yeah.
And we all know that in order to look effortless, you put a lot of effort to make things look effortless. And that's what they do. But... yeah, it depends on what works we're showing. Some need smaller spaces, some need larger spaces, some need white walls, some need different kinds of walls, some darkness, some light, some sound, some videos, some sculpture. So we love it because we're these, you know, we invite these artists into our midst to hang out with us and make stuff. And it's just a real pleasure to spend a couple months inside the brain of an artist. A really great artist and see the world the way that they see it for a little while. It beats multiple personality disorder, I'd say.
Yes, by a long shot.
By a long shot.
And much less medication.
Much less. No, that's true. Less medication.
Possibly. Depending on the artist, perhaps.
Yeah.
One of the things I suspect you're thinking about and maybe even being asked about a lot, you know, whenever I visit a city, one of the first things I like to do is go see the contemporary art museums because It's amazing the things that will blow your imagination, that will stretch the size of your brain when you didn't think it could be stretched anymore. But certainly it's been impossible not to think about, over the last 6 to 12 months, with the economic situation being it is, does art become more necessary or more of a luxury? At any other moment, I would say contemporary art is a must. But there's certainly, in these moments where people are losing their jobs and their homes, where does the relevance of site to society, to a museum like site to society, what happens to that? How does that change?
Well, it's the fundamentals of why we do what we do don't change. I mean, it's much cheaper than space travel coming to Site Santa Fe. And as you say, if you're looking for a way...
I think you're going to have to put that
as your tagline.
Absolutely. That's spectacular.
We considered free wine tasting today, but... Clean public bathrooms, that was another tagline we considered.
I think all of these are kind of spectacular.
Temporary art and clean public bathrooms.
That's right. Now, cheaper than space travel.
That's right. So, for me, I'll tell you the reason I'm in it is just as you say, that it is in art and with artists that you're most likely to stretch your brain and see the world in a way that you never thought you could before. And... you know, I always say that the goal, you know, our real mission for our visitors is they should come to site, enjoy it, see what's there, try it on, ponder it. But if they leave Site Santa Fe and the world looks slightly differently after they leave, that's really when the accomplishment lies. And so when we're in these troubled times, in these difficult economic times, and there are nothing but heavy muffins all around us, an ability to see beyond and through and to imagine something different. I mean, imagining something different is the first step towards making something different.
It's like a chance to live momentarily in an imaginary world that you can somehow actually drag into the real world behind you when you come out of a contemporary art space.
Yeah, you know,
space.
I think, what was it, Hamlet, who said there's nothing good and bad in all the world, but thinking makes it so. So, you know, this gives you a chance to try on a new way of thinking about all kinds of things, and hopefully then you'll have more tools in your toolkit of your imagination, your imagination's toolkit, so that you can approach the world in a more engaged way. You know, you can become more the author of your own experience of the world, and not so much just, you know, passing through it.
Yes, and SITE makes itself very available to the Santa Fe community. Certainly as a student with my student membership, it's delightful to have access to incredible work for very little outlay on my part.
You know, we try that. And the thing, too, that we try to do is we know that the art that we show at SITE is sometimes difficult, it's sometimes challenging, sometimes people say it's elite, and in fact, it is elite. It is the best in the world. But we do our damnedest to be super welcoming and friendly and talk in plain language about what it is we do. There's a Einstein quote I love that if you really understand something, you can explain it to your grandma. And so we try to do that. We present things that are hard to understand sometimes, but we work really hard to make them as comprehensible as we can, and to make people feel like they showed up at the right party, that they're welcome there, that this is for them, that this, you know, this work is for our neighbors in Santa Fe. That's who we're working for.
Does a more adventurous museum like SITE create a more adventurous viewer?
I hope so. You know, I hope so. A more, you know, sort of like brain yoga. It just makes you more stretchy and better balance.
I think you have another one there. It's sort of like brain yoga.
Brain yoga and cheaper than space travel. But at any rate, you know, I think it gives an audience member a chance to get comfortable with things that are a little tough, and then maybe they'll try thinking about things. And, you know, at SITE also we have a program called Visual Thinking Strategies. We have these SITE guides on the floor. We don't have guards and then docent tours. The typical museum, you've got your guards, who you're not supposed to talk to, and then you have your docents
who almost seem like installation pieces, both of them. One seems like a performance piece, and one almost seems like living sculpture.
Exactly.
But it always seems so out of whack in a museum situation.
Yeah, and so to have a tour guide, as you do at most at a typical museum, who just, you know, tells you what the work is, not really interested in that. So our SITE guides, instead, are more inclined to ask the 1,500 students that we serve and just people who walk in the door, what do you think of that picture? And then, you know, the viewer needs to say, wow, I don't know, it looks kind of pink. Wow, what makes you, what else do you see? Well, maybe there's a pink doll, you know, and then as you bit, by having a conversation, make the meaning yourself through, you know, the viewer comes in and makes their own meaning by looking closely and just trying it out, you know. It's one of those things that you can really try something new and a little risky for your brain, and there's no such thing as failure at it, and all it can do is, you know, stretch your brain a little bit in a pleasurable way.
There's definitely this leap between looking and thinking, and I think that's such an interesting question to go from looking at a piece of art. I mean, we're trained from youth, thanks to the way our media works, to be passive absorbers of information. And certainly in the typical museum where the docent tells you, here's what this piece is and here's the artist's statement behind it, and that's essentially giving you the subtitles to your own thinking, and it seems a little unfair. But this whole idea of what do you think about this piece, it must be a very surprising question. I think even for young viewers, or maybe especially for young viewers, that I get to think something. I get to think this is funny even though it seems very terrifying, or I get to think it's silly even though the artist clearly has lent it some very personal gravitas.
Yeah, exactly. The goal really is to make people authors of their own imaginative experience, you know, that people are unique, that they should be having unique and personal, intuitive responses to these objects. They're meant to be springboards for the thinking of the viewer. I mean, that's why we put the stuff in the rooms. It's not just for, you know, for kicks, and it should be pleasurable in most cases, but more than that, it's meant to leave you with this experience that's kind of ongoing as you leave the museum.
How has the rail yard development changed site or changed its patronage? Have you noticed any difference all of a sudden from being in a lovely location, but you're really now central to this magnificent piece of Santa Fe that's, after a jillion years of debate, sprung up and is kind of gorgeous?
Yeah, we're very happy about it. And, you know, we played a kind of a big role in it because we had been down there in the rail yard when it was just this derelict switching yard overrun with prairie dogs and a fair number of homeless people. And now we bought the building. We were leasing the building from the city, and we bought the building in 2003. And sort of up to that point, the board had considered moving to another location, moving even to Museum Hill or moving down Siler Road or different things. And so they finally said, you know what, we're staying. And when we bought the building, that was the thing that really pulled the trigger on the development all around us. I think probably the TPL and the city and the Rail Yard Corp realized finally they had a stable tenant that would be, you know, keep the graffiti down and pick up trash around our building and have people coming in all the time at night and at day. And that was the thing that was the sort of stabilizing influence that allowed a lot of those other developments to happen. Certainly all the galleries that are down there now have wonderful gallery neighbors now, as well, of course, Warehouse 21 and the Museo and all the great stuff that's down there. So it feels wonderful to, you know, walk to lunch in a nice place and the beautiful park, you know, to go sit outside in the park. And so, yeah, we're the art museum in the park. We're like the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, basically.
Does it ever feel like you work in a little bit of a wonderland? I was looking over the information on this Swedish artist who's coming.
Clara
Kostolova. And some of the information on her pieces. I can't imagine, you know, I love going into my home and seeing the art that I have up on my walls, and it's pieces that I'm so fond of and that I have such an intimate visual relationship with, but they stay there. They stay there because they're the ones I picked and they're the ones I put on that wall, and I don't change my home as a contemporary art space. But for you, your home, where you're clearly spending hundreds of hours every month, it's constantly changing, and it's got to feel sort of... And maybe I'm over-romanticizing it, but it's got to feel kind of magical to constantly have this incredible flow of emotional and visual and creative stimulation around you all the time.
I'm a total junkie for that kind of thing. And, you know, for me personally, you know, I'm the curator of most of those shows. So I'm the curator of the Clara show and the Ruben Ochoa show, which opens this weekend, and Brent Green show, which opens this weekend. So
about which there's a very nice write-up in PASA today.
Oh, is there? Good.
Yes.
I hadn't seen it yet. It's early. But the wonderful thing for an artist like Clara is, you know, here's someone I saw one work, I think, at, I don't know, some fair, probably the Frieze Fair in London a few years back, and then I saw another one, and I just thought, wow, what the hell is that? What is that? You know, strange.
That's one of my favorite responses to a piece of art. Then that's how I know I love it, because I'm going to be thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that you look at and it takes you about 2 seconds to figure out what they're up to, those don't interest me. The ones that interest me are the ones that I don't understand, that I have an intuition after however many years I've been doing this, that they're well-made things, well-wrought things, that there's, you know, an intellectual rigor, a creative rigor in the making of the thing. They're not a big disordered mess, but I can't figure out what it is. That's something new to me. And so to spend a few years looking at the work, writing about the work, talking with the artist, and in talking about the work, hopefully get somewhere to some new kind of understanding, not only of the work, but of the world and how she sees the world. So she sees the world I don't know anybody else sees the world quite like that. And so, you know, in the case of Ruben Ochoa, I'm glad that the article is out today. Last weekend...
It's Brent's article out today.
Oh, good. Okay. So Ruben has an article coming, too. Ruben has done a really weird thing to our building. Really weird. And I know it's the right thing and a good thing and an interesting thing and something that hadn't been done before. What he meant by that, I really couldn't tell you. So last weekend I said, Ruben, that's it. We're going for a walk, which is something I like to do. Get a picnic, and we head, you know, up to Borrego Trail or Dale Ball Trail and just walk and talk and figure it out. And so by the end of that walk, I knew so much more about where he was coming from and how that work came to be, you know, conceptually. So that is, for me, that's the fun part. That's the part of my job that I treasure, and that's the part of my job that I would wish to make available to people, you know.
That's the part of your job that makes me wish that I had your job. I don't want to hear about any of the dreadful parts because I just want to envy
not
you
the,
getting
not the
to
the constant begging for money.
No, I'm overly familiar with that, but I just want to imagine
writing
that
government grants.
I just want to pretend all you do is get to walk around and talk to artists.
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Just grant me that.
I pretend that myself sometimes.
It's good to have an imagination.
To sleep.
Yeah, at 11:30 after you've gotten home from a long day at site.
Yeah.
My guest this morning has been director curator Laura Stewart of Site Santa Fe. Tell us again when the auction is.
The auction. Everybody come to the auction. It's going to be a barn burner. It's not this weekend, next weekend, the 19th and 20th of June. There are tickets available for the preview and the actual auction. There are tickets for $300 and then for $500. Yes, that's a lot of money. I'm trying to raise a quarter of my operating budget on that weekend, so help me out, yo. And then we have these wonderful works of art. There are 70 amazing, truly amazing things. Ed Ruscha, Bruce Nauman, Jenny Holzer, Dana Schutz, Fred Tomaselli. I mean, all the players have come through for us. We expect these works to go for well under retail, and the retail prices that have been set are what we call new economy retail. So these are not the prices that they would have had a year ago. There are tremendous values for really mind-blowing things to be had. So come on down.
Very
check our
exciting
website.
SiteSantaFe.org.
SiteSantaFe.org and see the auction website.
Laura, thank you so much for being with us. We'll
My
be
pleasure.
Back in a moment with Robert Knott. We'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you.